Here out of our own church this morning, but it really is a thrill, and just want to thank the church and the pastor for their kindness. Got a basket of goodies that I haven't really got into it yet. I've been trying to protect it from my daughter, and so I could take some of it back home with me. But I do appreciate that and your kindness and taking care of us. And I just thought about it so much. And when the pastor, quite a long time ago, talked to us about coming, my first response is, you know, to everything like that is, no, I'm not interested. But I believe the Lord was in it. And it's so finally I told him that we'd be glad to come and spend this weekend with this church. We've known about this church for years and years and years. I grew up, of course, in the Grass Lake area, all through the Grass Lake schools there, and that's home. My dad was a farmer out in that area. So I feel like I'm home, even though our home really is up at, we live 10 miles west of Gaylord, between Gaylord and Petoskey, a very, very beautiful part of the state, and that's what we call home now. And God enabled us to build a nice home up there, and we're way back off the road, and right back of us, about 20 yards, go right up into, we call it a mountain, but it isn't really a mountain, but it's beautiful, steep. You wouldn't want to walk up it. I've tried to get the ATV up that, and that's kind of dangerous, and I have to be careful where I take my ATV. It's borrowed. I got a borrowed ATV. It belongs to Brother Tim Leonard, I think. I've had it about 3-4 years. I'm trying to figure out whether it's mine or his. He calls me and wants to know if he can borrow it, and I'm almost at a place, and I'm sorry, Tim. Can't borrow it. Last time I borrowed it, his daughter wrecked it. And came back, and it was all busted up. She was thought it was a boat or something. And but we have a lot of fun. It's great, great to be a Christian. Great to serve the Lord. And we don't intend to quit until God quits us, you know. And so I appreciate you, Pastor, and your work here at Loomis, and people here at the church. And it's just a blessing to hear about you. And to be a part of it. Thanks for everything. I had this passage of Scripture on my heart. If you want to turn back there to that 22nd chapter of Revelation this morning and give you some thoughts that's on my heart, and I hope it'll be a blessing to you. You know, the Bible, God has given us the Bible. Pastor just was mentioning that. And, you know, Christians all over the world, we possess the Bible. And I heard you talking about a missions conference coming up and the importance of a missions conference. And boy, that's the highlight of our church, the week where we have our missions conference. There's nothing else in our church that supersedes the missions week. You want to think about that, because that really is the week where we can really see what's going on, be a part of it, and really try to get this book that we have in our possession this morning. And you want to think about that. You know, as a child of God, we have the Bible. But those who are lost today don't have it. They do not have the Bible, you know, and I'm not just talking about lost people here in Jackson County or Otsego County. I'm not just talking about that. I'm talking about people. I shared with the men yesterday that according to a survey that Wycliffe conducted in last year, it was 2011, they conducted a survey, and the figures that they had come up with, it was staggering when I read the result of that study that they had made. But they claim that there are about 350 million persons who represent about 2,000 languages on the face of this earth. You know, and that's about 1/3 of the languages in the world today. these 2,000 languages, 350 million people. Think about that. They did this study and they said these 350 million people who have never saw, they have never looked at a Bible. 350 million people who have never felt a Bible, have never picked it up. 350 million people who have never heard one word of the Bible. Isn't that staggering when you get to thinking about that? You know, we sometimes get the thinking that everybody's heard the Bible. And we've contributed that to the fact that we live in a computer, electronic computer age. And so there's just no place where people have not heard the Bible. That figure is staggering if that's true. 350 million people who have never heard, saw, or felt the Bible. That's why a missions conference is so vital, really, to the lifeblood of a church. And so we hope that that'll be a great success here in this church. I chose this passage of Scripture here to try to maybe try to remind you maybe something you've thought about before. But the Lord sort of just laid this on my heart that we should be reminded today that there is coming a day when it's all going to be over. And boy, it's easy to lose sight of that. You know, you just think of that. You look out and you say, well, this thing is never going to end. Yeah, things are getting better. Things are getting bigger, more complex. And we never think about that. But I just want to share with you this morning for a moment here that just before the announcement of the last things of the Bible. And I'm referring to, you know, the blessedness of the heavenly Jerusalem and the wonderful things we read about in the book of Revelation and the Holy Spirit. Just before that, as the Bible comes to the end, and the preacher sort of emphasized that today, you know, that it is the very end of the Bible. And we know that according to the book of Revelation, this is where God and the Lamb reside, our Savior. It's a place of paradise. And not only that, let me say this to you this morning. It's a place where all is well. I don't know if that means anything to you or not. You know, a place where there's peace. How many bottles of medicine do you have in your house? Yeah. Just think about it. How many bottles of medicine do we have in our house? And why are all of those medicines there? Well, without getting into a medical discussion here this morning, we'll let you decide that. But you know, we all are seeking for peace. We all are wondering how we can get really a good night's rest. Not only that, how we can once again be happy and filled with joy about what God has done for us. I think all the programs of the church are affected by what God has done in your heart, what God has done in my heart. You can talk about missions conferences. You can talk about visitation. Believe me, I head up all of that ministry at our church. All of the outreach ministry is my responsibility. So we can talk about all of that. We can talk about teachers' meetings, where all of our teachers are required, at least asked. We never really tried to figure out what the word required means. Because even though you put that out, you always have teachers who don't come. And we can announce Thursday visitation, soul-winning opportunities, and there's always some people who will come. There's always a lot of people who it doesn't seem to register that, I'm a part of that. I'm supposed to be a part of that. And I think it all hinges on the condition of your heart today and my heart. My heart's not always warm. Your heart's not always warm. Our heart's not always tender. And so the things of God, even though God wants to, we're not impressed with a sermon. We're not impressed with a Sunday school. I've done my duty. I came to church today. What more does the pastor want? I put my money in the offering plate. What more does the pastor want? What more does the church want? I don't know. I mean, was your heart filled this morning with joy and thanksgiving because you have the privilege of even being here and sitting in a pew this morning? Have you ever thought about that? You know, one of the classes I teach up at the college is a class called Poetry and Wisdom. And it was one of the larger classes that we have. A lot of kids take that. But I remember being on tour. Has the tour been to your church here, one of our tour groups? For the last several years, we've been out with the tour group also, traveling all over creation, all over America. And I remember one of the girls, maybe she was in this church, I don't know. Were they here this year? She's not on tour this year, but she asked me, she said, "Brother Jenkins, what is that course, Poetry and Wisdom? What is it?" I got to thinking about it. I tried to describe to her what that course was. I said, you think of poetry. And what do you think about when you think of poetry? I know as far as I'm concerned, I think of something that's beautiful, that's nice, that's comforting, that's just good for us to read a poem, to think of the word poetry, somebody else, or maybe it's in music. I said, that's what I sort of think of that. And then you think of the wisdom, you think of the book of Proverbs, where all of the wisdom in the Bible, you know, so much of it is located in the book of Proverbs. And so she took that course, and a lot of the other kids, and this particular last semester, we studied the 119th Psalm. Was one of the lessons that we took 2 or 3 weeks on, and we went through the 100, and we all agreed that the 119th Psalm is one of the beautiful chapters of the Bible. So much in it, so much help, so much encouragement. And I told the kids in the class, I said, "Here's what I want you to do. If you possibly can do this, I want you to think about the Bible as just an absolutely beautiful gift that God has given to us, the Bible." Because we were emphasizing how beautiful and how important the 119th Psalm was. And as I said that to the students, I said, you know, that we studied the 119th Psalm. You're acquainted with that. I said, you know, the Psalm 120, verse 1 says, "In my distress, I called upon God." Then I just shared with the class that the 121st Psalm says in verse 1, "I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills." Then verse 2 says, "From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from God." Then I looked at that was another psalm. "I will lift up mine eyes unto the Lord." Then 122, "I was glad when they said, let us go into the house of the Lord." One of the young ladies who's a ed major, she actually lives in the Jackson area, not right in Jackson, but a beautiful young lady. And she raised her hand in class one day and she said, "Brother Jenkins, I just got a testimony. Can I just share a little testimony?" And I said, "Go ahead." And she said, "I never thought about what you said a couple of 3 weeks ago to the class." I said, "Well, what did I say?" Sometimes I will teach something 1 week and then I'll have to ask myself, what did I teach 2 weeks ago, you know? I said, "What was it I said?" She said, "You just made a simple statement of how beautiful the Bible is." You know, the kids have to read the scriptures in a Bible college. And I hate that. I hate to give an assignment. You've got to read so many books of the Bible. You've got to do this. You've got to do that. You say, well, why do you hate that? Because as a child of God, we ought to want to do that. That ought to be something that we just do because we love the Bible. We love the book. God has given it. It is a gift. And it's ours that God has given to us. And she says, I never thought about it until you. She says, there's the truth of the matter. She's probably 18, 19, maybe 20 years old. She says, I never thought about it until you mentioned that in the class. And I began to read the Bible. I went back over. I read the poetical books and I meditated and I thought about the different things that these books of the Bible taught. I spent some time in the book of Proverbs. I never thought about it until you mentioned it, how beautiful the Bible is. And I want to say to you this morning, church, the Bible is a beautiful book. I know that may not, maybe that you say, well, so what? I just want to say again, the Bible is a beautiful book. God has given us something wonderful when He has given us the Bible. And in this particular chapter, I think it's absolutely wonderful what the Holy Spirit has done here in the 22nd chapter of the book of Revelation. What has He done? Well, just before the end of all things and the last few things of the Bible are mentioned, recorded in the book of Revelation, the Holy Spirit says, let's just stop for a moment. I want to say something to everybody. I'm just kind of acting this out a little bit. And the Holy Spirit says, before we're all through, there's something I want to say to you. If I had a key verse, all of these verses that we read during the responsive reading today, they were great verses, but, you know, if I had a key verse out of this section, I would choose verse 17. Just look at it. Here's what verse 17 says. The Spirit of the Bride say, come. Think about that. The Spirit of the Bride say, come. Twice in that verse, there's a wonderful word that's very common to all of us. It's the word, come. Have you come to the Savior this morning? And the Holy Spirit seems to be emphasizing, say, we're about through now. Things are about over. But I want to give you one last chance. That's the way I look at it. One last opportunity to come. I can just imagine an old sinner that's through with life and messed up and family's going to pieces, lost his job, broke, everything in the world's gone wrong, and he's sitting in this church this morning. And all of a sudden he would say, wow. Here the Bible says in verse 17, the Spirit of God says, come. I can just imagine. It doesn't happen in our churches. I wish it did happen in our churches. I don't know why people have to come forward during an invitation. Come forward when God speaks to your heart. You know, if God is speaking to your heart right now this morning, you know, time when we get to the invitation, He may not even be speaking to you anymore. When Peter was preaching on the day of Pentecost, right during the sermon, someone stood up and said, sir, what must we do? He didn't wait until it was over. I'm not insinuating, you know, the disruption of a service, but who cares if a service is disrupted, if somebody gets saved? I mean, we're so careful that we almost prohibit people from, boy, God is really speaking to my heart. And I can just almost envision some old sinner sitting in church this morning, and our churches ought to be filled with sinners. It's great that we're here. We're sinners too. But we ought to make sure a little church we attend to when we get a chance to take a little vacation in Florida. Pastor is about 77 years old. He's actually the brother-in-law of Mickey Carter, you know, at Landmark. And he'll often say, everybody ought to do something on Saturday for Sunday. But you know what? We've got in the habit that Saturday is our day. It's a day for picnics, it's a day for traveling, it's a day for doing this, that, and the other thing. And I'm sort of like, I like that. I grew up that way. That don't take my Saturdays away from me. But I can just imagine some old sinner in our churches on Sunday morning, and all of a sudden the Spirit of God is saying to him, I'm talking to you right now, and I'm saying, come. And that old sinner jumps up from his seat and runs to the altar and falls to the altar and calls on the name of God. And one of the men come up and help him. One of the deacons of the church or whatever, whoever you have to do that. But the Spirit of the Lord say, come. And let him that heareth, see, he heard it now. He's in church. He heard it. Now the Spirit's saying to him, come. And then let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Are you thirsty today? You know, I've been saved for a lot of years. I was saved as a young man. Actually, I was saved in my freshman year. When I got saved and knew I got saved, I was a freshman in Bible college. I'd gotten saved 3 or 4 times, I thought. You know, my home church was the Sycamore Baptist Church and Dallas Berry and Charles Berry. Some of you remember the Berries and great men of God. We just loved them, and it was great, you know, great church, and that was our home church. And I had gone forward, and I had gone through a lot of motions, but it wasn't until I was a freshman in Bible college that God got a hold of my heart one night we were attending a revival service in one of the churches in the town where the Bible college was. And I never forgot it that night. You know, I always doubted my salvation. But I've never doubted my salvation for the last 50, 55 years, the night that I rushed back to the dorm. I don't remember ever going forward in the service, but I rushed back to the dorm, fell on my knees on a little old wooden chair, and knelt before an open window. I remember the night. It was storming, it was raining, the lightning was flashing, thunder was roaring, and I called on the name of the Lord, because I knew that night God spoke to my heart. You and I we better get our heads screwed on straight that, I know we have the Bible, but sometimes, we go a long time. We don't hear anything from God. But beloved, if God is speaking to your heart, go, make a move. Don't worry about it. Because everything depends on it. That's the thing about it. So what a wonderful verse that is. You know, thirsty. I was just going to tell you, you know, even though that I was saved all those years ago, almost every Sunday morning, I sat on the platform of our church with the other assistant pastors, during some of them I have responsibilities and I take care of the scriptures and stuff like that on Sunday morning. But boy, I sat there on that platform, pastor, and just, I think, God, speak to hearts today. Speak to my heart today. So, there hardly a service comes and goes, but what I just have a terrific thirst. I say to God, you know, I know I'm saved, but why is it that I'm like I am today? Why is it that the joy doesn't seem to be there? The enthusiasm, the response to get involved in the work is not there. And so it's not unusual to come to church and just be thirsty for God to do something. You know, this morning we got a telephone call this morning that a friend of ours, they were members of the Maple Grove Baptist Church for years and years and years, and just a great family. And we got a phone call this morning that, of course, these people are they're in heaven today. They've been in heaven now for a few years, and great. I never forgot them. Great, wonderful church members. And we got a telephone call this morning that their son, whom we've been praying for and real close to my daughter and my son-in-law, that 4 o'clock this morning he went to be with the Lord. He passed away. They're not sure that he's saved. Got a telephone call from Gaylord from some of their relatives that they were concerned about it. But 4 o'clock this morning, his life ended. Boy, and immediately, you know, Pastor, I got to think, you know, that we don't realize it, but this could be the last service that you're in church. I may be preaching my last sermon. We lose sight of the fact that things aren't always going to continue. I'm going to wait till next week. I thank God for Vanessa today. She's telling me, she says, I got saved. I'm going to get baptized. And wonderful. You know, and we sometimes think, you know, that that, you know, God's really speaking to my heart. And the next week, I'm promising God this morning in this church, Loomis Park Baptist Church, the next Sunday morning, I'm coming forward and I'm going to get things straightened around. And the truth of the matter is, we may be attending your funeral this week. And you may be attending my funeral this week. The Bible seems to indicate here in these, the Holy Spirit here is indicating here that, you know, we have the, in verse number 11 there, the final admonition is what I call it. The, you're either saved or you're lost. I mean, there is no middle ground. And the Bible says here in that 11th verse, he that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And then he says, he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy. So here the Holy Spirit is saying, you know, I'm coming, we're coming down the pike. This is it. You're either lost or you're saved. You're going to have to decide that. No pastor, no staff member can decide that. You've got to decide whether this is the, in other words, there's coming a time when the Holy Spirit is going to say something to you and to me the last time. Now, if you don't respond to it, then you're the loser for it. Not only that, look in verse number 12 there, you know, the final, this is payday, I call it payday. And behold, I come quickly, Jesus says, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. This is the final muster. I see in number, verse 17, I pointed out a moment ago, the final invitation of the Bible. But it's not just the idea of the final invitation of the Bible. It could be the final invitation of your life, my life, that God's going to give us that opportunity. I'm not sure how I believe some things, but I just have always believed that there's times when God speaks to us, and there's times when we don't hear His voice. You can believe what you want on that. I'm just saying that. But today, as far as the Holy Spirit, the Bible says here today, the Holy Spirit saying today, I want you to come today, because there is no tomorrow. In reality, there is no tomorrow. And so we have that final invitation in these last verses of the last book of the Bible. And the Bible is closed. It's over. Verses 18 and 19 is sort of the final warning about adding to, taking away the from the Bible. In other words, there's a lot of different ways that we can get saved. No, there isn't. There's one way, and it's the Bible way. People come along and you start pulling you this direction, that direction. You better get back to the Bible, get on your knees. There's only God's way. And there's a warning about that. Final promise in verses 7, 12, and 20. Verse 20 says there, he which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. You know, I'm not in a hurry to get out of here, but it wouldn't be too bad to be with the Lord today. That wouldn't be too bad at all. You know, all of the stuff that's going on in the world, the politics, and the crime, the corruption. How'd you like to live in Detroit? Have you ever taken the Detroit Free Press? Is there ever a day that you read the Detroit Free Press and they're not talking about corruption? Hey, there's going to be no corruption up there. Thank God for that. And we don't have to worry about that. It's going to be over. And then in verse 21, we have the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you always. You know, I'm just thinking today, you know, about all of, you know, if we want people to have the Bible, to know all of these wonderful things, we got to give it to them because we've got it. And all of the mission courses that we teach in Bible college, great, they're wonderful, and people want to go to this mission field and that mission field, and sometimes they think one mission field is a little bit easier than the other one, but you know, I think one of the greatest mission fields in all the world is finding somebody who's been trained to to translate the Bible into the language of people who are lost today. I believe that people have to hear the Bible in their own language. And that's a lot of work, translation. And that would be easy to skip that one. Let somebody else do it. And I'll just go to wherever it is and come to church on Sunday morning and have 500-600 people in church on Sunday morning, walking for hours to get to the church because they enjoy the church and they want to come. Or you can go to that place where you might work for a whole year, maybe find one convert. You know what the Bible says here? That it's now or never. I never even thought about that. It's now or never. You say, you know, preacher, what you're doing is you're talking to the choir. But all of you weren't in the choir. A few of you were in the choir. Not all of you. So I'm just talking to everybody here that God has given us an opportunity to talk with and be with here today. No, I'm talking to everybody. I'm talking to me today. You notice the pastor, everything he said today, he included himself in it also. You know, it's later than we think. Jesus is coming. He said so. Are you right with the Savior today? Are you lost today and know it? And if you are, if you've never received Christ as your Savior, you say, what do you mean by that? Well, the pastor did a great job yesterday of talking to the people about that, explaining that. You know, it's trying to think of a time and a place where you ask Jesus to become your Savior. And you might have been going to this church for years and you never thought about that. There's gotta be a time and a place where you ask Jesus to become your Savior. And I just want to invite you today, if you're here today and God's been speaking to you about that during the invitation, just get up out of your seat, shoot down here, kneel at the altar, and don't worry about what people are going to think about it. God bless you. We appreciate being with you today and look forward to the service tonight. Pray God will give us a great service and thank you for letting us come. Let's just bow for